Amen. Well, I'm excited to be here. The moment today that I walked into your sanctuary, my Apple Watch went off, and I got a text, and it said, Lamar Morin is the bomb. True story, happened today. Dr. Ronnie Cooksey was once a pastor here, and I forget the name of his church. He's in New Orleans now, but he was pastor here, and another pastor saying that about another pastor is incredible. You've got a great pastor, a wonderful staff. Now, he's already spilled the beans on me, and I know you're going to think it's weird because I'm a pastor and an attorney. And I know many of you are thinking, I didn't even know you could be an attorney and a Christian. I know. You know, and I'm from Texas, and, you know, Texas has safeguards against this because in Texas, if you're an attorney, we have special laws for attorneys. Do you know, in Texas, if when you die, and if you choose to get buried in Texas, you have to be buried at least 6 feet under. You know why? Because deep down, we're good people. Yes. Deeper the better. But I was a pastor before I became a lawyer. I was a preacher and a professor and different things. And now I've become both, and I've dedicated my life to defending the faith. And I defend the faith not only in churches, but I also defend the faith in the courtroom. So we represent several churches right now in cases. I'm also licensed all the way up to the Supreme Court, and we've got a couple cases that could make it to the Supreme Court. Because I don't know if you've noticed in our country, but the Christian faith is under attack. We've got issues that are going on with the faith, and you know, it's become very interesting times. And so we work with churches, we help them with all kinds of stuff. We do you know, many of their court cases. We also do bylaws, and we protect them against, you know, the rising tide of legislation that is continually going against the church. And so it's becoming harder and harder to stand for the Lord, which is part of what we're going to talk about today, because I'm going to tell you a shocking statement today. America is actually in danger of losing religious liberty. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 6, and I want to tell you the story about a country that once had this happen where religious liberty got taken away. It's a story about a country called Babylon, and Babylon was having an interesting crisis in their country because they had a government crisis. All kinds of money was disappearing. And the king became very concerned, and so he appointed some officials to try to figure out what was happening to all the money. One of the people that got appointed, the one he actually put above it all, was a man named Daniel. Now, you know him in the Bible as the prophet Daniel, but when Daniel got appointed to this job, he was 85 years old. Do we have anybody in this room that is 85 years or older? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my goodness. And look at this. Now, don't ever let anybody tell you that you're a spring chicken. You know, I mean, or tell you you're too old. You're just getting started at 85. And so Daniel, he's just getting ready. And by the way, today, I want to tell you just real quick that we are having a will seminar at 12:30. How many of you are registered for the will seminar? Okay, you need to be in this. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you don't have a will and you need one? Would you raise your hand? All right. How many of you have a will but you need to update your will? All right. Yep, pastor just raised his hand. All right, I know a guy. And we're going to help you today. And let me tell you something. That's one of the most important things, no matter what age you are. And today in this seminar, I'm going to share with you how you can have a free will, a free living will, power of attorney over the person, the estate. Also, we do revocable living trusts. Those cost $5,000 to do in Texas. I don't know how much they cost to do in New Mexico. We do them for free. Your church has paid for everything. All you got to do is show up, and we will hook you up. Today, we're going to give these out, Pastor. These are QR codes to our free wills. These are Willy Wonka cards. This is the golden ticket. So you want to come to that. And also, too, Gregory Elder, who is amazing. He's over your equipping in this church, and he has put this together. They have actually made extra room. Because I told him, I said, I'm going to say something in my sermon because we may have some people who want to come. You may say, well, I have questions about my will. I mean, we're needing to put mom in a nursing home and we don't know what to do. Should we do a ladybird deed? Should we do a transfer on death? I'm going to take questions today. And so this is going to be really, really something. You've probably never seen one of these done in a church, but I'm going to help you have a tool the rest of your life that you can do this for free and you can take care of your family. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And what you don't want to do is you don't want to die without a will. If you die without a will, I know three things about you. Number one, I know that you left too much money to the government, maybe all of it. Number two, you left too little to your family. But number three, you left zero to God. Not a Dorito, not a Frito, not a Cheeto, not a shekel. You left nothing to God. It's not like you would die without a will and they would go, you know what? Man, she sure did love Hoffmantown Church. We should just give her money to the church. Happens all the time, doesn't it, Pastor? It never happens. I mean, if you don't put stuff in your will, it's not going to happen. And so today we're going to have this seminar. And I promise you, even if you're busy and you want to beat the Methodist to the cafeteria and everything, just take time today and come. They've made extra place for you, so it will be totally worth your time. If you go to this will seminar and you don't like it, you can slap Pastor Lamar, okay? You can, because it's that good. I'm telling you, it's going to be wonderful. Well, Daniel, he was 85 years of age. I don't know if he had his will done or not, but he got put over this new job. Now, he had already been serving for 70 years. He's on his third king. And so Daniel gets to work on this, and you'll never guess what happened. He fixed everything. He fixed all the corruption. And you would think that all the leaders in the country and all the people in government would be happy about it, were they? Oh, no. And that's when they began to attack Daniel. So I want you to, let's start today in verse 4, and let's see what happens. The Bible says in Daniel 6:4, it says, then the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful. No error or fault was found in him. Has anybody ever said that about you? There is no fault in that person. There is no error in that person. I mean, this is incredible. So they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel. And by the way, they launched a full-scale investigation on him. They put him under an audit with the IRS, the FBI, investigated him, the CIA. I mean, they put him under a microscope, and guess what they found? Nothing. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I could survive one of those. But instead of closing the case, here's what happened, and this is where we need to pay attention. Daniel 6:5, it says, then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Now listen to what happens here. They weaponized his own faith against him. Now can you imagine? And this is interesting. Look at the scam in verse 7. Here's the law they make. They said, whoever makes petition, prayer, to any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions. And then, verse 9, they put it in writing, and they passed it as unrepealable, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. Now, Persians. And here's the crazy thing in this story. Verse 10, the king signed it. Okay, we're going to see in later, he's going to not remember signing. He's going to, who signed that? They're like, you did. Well, that was insane. So here's what was interesting. The people there, they were against Daniel. They were against his faith. They were against his God. They wanted to stop him. They didn't know how to do it because there was nothing wrong with him, and so they decided to make his faith illegal because they knew something about Daniel. They knew that every day he prayed three times a day, not secretly, but openly. And he didn't hide, and because of this, they targeted him because they knew he wouldn't change his beliefs. Now, they did it behind his back. Because here's the interesting thing. We learned that Daniel has this very high position in the country. Might be even the second highest person in the country. But he learns about it, verse 10, after it passes. Now, this is interesting. Because Daniel's like thinking, I did everything right. And now the bottom's going to fall out. He's probably thinking he probably should have got an award, a plaque, a raise, something. But instead, they pass a law to stop him right in his tracks in his faith. Can you imagine if that happened right here in the United States of America? Well, I'm telling you, it is happening right now. It's happening across the country. We've had more challenges to our faith than at any time in our history. And, you know, it's a different time. I believe that, you know, the time has come for us as Christians to be willing to stand for our faith, to be willing to be a Daniel. Because you know what's really fascinating about this story that really jumps out at me is they passed this targeted law for the whole country. But ask yourself this question: how many people got arrested? One. Now, isn't that really strange? I mean, this was a targeted law. And so there's coming a time in our country in which our faith is literally going to be on trial. Because if you've noticed, the values of Christianity and the Bible. And by the way, if you're a Christian, you should be a Bible believer. You should be a person who says, I believe this Bible from cover to cover. I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. This is my book. And Jesus, he believed the entire scripture. And if he did, I did. And it's, you know, I'm going to follow him. And so I believe that the clear teachings of the Bible are not optional. It's not like, oh, you know, you can take part of the Bible and leave part of the Bible. Now, you know, just a second ago, Pastor Lamar mentioned that I was an atheist. And I was. I was an atheist for 21 years. I actually tried to disprove Christianity. And I actually studied all 9 major world religions, but I particularly studied Christianity very, very hard. I read the entire Bible cover to cover before I ever became a Christian. And a lot of people say, well, man, you know, you must have grown up in an atheist home. I didn't. I grew up in a very religious home, in a Christian home. But the church that my parents took me to was different than this church today. That this is a Bible-believing church. The church that I went to, I was taught as a child that Adam and Eve weren't real people. That it was just a made-up story to help people believe. I was taught there wasn't a real Noah. There wasn't even a real ark. There wasn't a real Jonah. Jonah was never swallowed by a whale. It was just made up to help people have faith. Well, let me tell you something. Even as a little kid, I began to think to myself, you know, if some of the Bible is not true, maybe all of the Bible is not true. And so, you know, we have this pressure on us today to conform to the world because the world doesn't share the same belief systems that we do about God making man. The Bible says, Jesus said, haven't you heard in the beginning, God made them male and female. And not only that, but God performed the first marriage. And that's what a marriage is between one man and one woman. And so if you hold to that belief today, you can find yourself in trouble. And we are seeing local laws in municipalities and across different states. Those are changing rapidly now to where if you hold a belief that's different than that, you could be labeled with hate speech. And stuff is happening right now in the employment sector. We actually recently have started representing Christian businesses because they're in trouble. Because, you know, if you're a Christian businessman, you know, some people are saying, you know, the only place for God is you can leave God in the church, but you can't let God, you can't let your faith outside of the church ever anymore in our world. I don't believe that. I believe that the time has come in our country that we have to live out our faith. Now, there was a time in our country we really didn't. We didn't have to really worry about showing up at things. We didn't have to worry about showing up at the school board meeting. The reason was is because we were this incredible majority. We didn't have to show up because somebody else in the church would. Somebody else would show up and come. But now our numbers are declining. Churches are declining. And I'm going to tell you what, we're going to have to reach deep down in our inside of ourselves, and we're going to have to find the inner Daniels inside of us and be willing to stand even if it cost us something. You know, stuff started changing in our country in the 1940s with a decision by SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, in 1947. The case was called Everson versus Board of Education. And in this case, they actually said that the Establishment Clause was applicable to state laws and localities via the 14th Amendment. Now, let me bring you up to speed. One of the reasons that we have religious liberty in this country, and I thank God I live in the United States of America. Do you know most countries in our world don't have freedom of religion? Most countries in our world don't have free speech. You know, in our television show that Pastor mentioned, Defending the Faith, we recently had a pastor on in his country. He was arrested for opening a church, and he was placed in solitary confinement for 7 days. I mean, that's insanity, and you think, well, it could never happen here. I pray that it doesn't ever happen here. You know, you think about Daniel. Daniel finds out about this law after it happens. Do you think if Daniel would have known about it before, that he should have done something about it? I mean, that's one of the things the scripture really doesn't tell us, but I like to think to myself, you know, if Daniel would have known this was coming down, maybe he would have done something about it. So there's a couple things that protect us. We have some things in our Constitution. One is called the Free Exercise Clause that says that we can freely exercise our religion. It's outstanding. It's amazing. The other clause, though, is called the Establishment Clause. Now, what's interesting about the Establishment Clause is I believe it's one of the most misunderstood things in our Constitution. The Establishment Clause simply says this: Congress shall make no law establishing religion. It was passed in 1792. Now, what's really interesting about it is that this Supreme Court case said, you know, the Establishment Clause is clearly trying to keep religion and God out of the state and out of the public sector, and they began to take it out. But that's not why the Establishment Clause was passed. The Establishment Clause was passed because in 1792, there were six, this is going to sound really weird, there were six states that had state religions. Have you ever heard of anything like that? So some states, they followed a certain denomination. They were all Christian, but they followed a particular denomination. And what was interesting about those states, you would pay taxes, and your taxes would go to support all the clergy. So it was a pretty good deal if you were in a state and you were like, hey, this state supports this denomination, and then some other people like, but we're not getting any money from our church. And there was all kind of controversy, and people began to get worried that if enough people in, you know, in a federal election voted, they could make a federal religion. So they put in the Establishment Clause that said Congress shall make no law establishing religion. But let me tell you what that did not mean. It did not mean that God was to be totally removed from every aspect of government. It didn't. Okay? And you say, Frank, how do you know that? Because even after they passed that law, did you know that they prayed in Congress? Did you know even after they passed that law, that very same year, they swore officials in on the Bible? Right there in Congress. And by the way, did you know George Washington was the first president ever sworn in with the Bible? And by the way, he was the first president too. But just throwing out, I'm from Texas A&M. I got to drop knowledge today, okay? You know, I got to tell you some stuff. We know that they, before and after the Establishment Clause, they were regularly preaching sermons in Congress and the Senate. Official chaplains opened in prayer. So The purpose of the Establishment Clause is not to get rid of God in society. So, you know, I'm just telling you that this is one of the big things that we're battling, and so I'm a religious liberty attorney. This is one of the big things that we're trying to battle back, is this bad case that happened. And hopefully, you know, by the power of God, we will do some of this. And by the way, you know, I think, you know, I love preaching in churches, but my favorite place to preach is in court. Do you know some of the greatest sermons that were ever preached in the book of Acts were preached in a courtroom? So you think about Paul. There's a scene where Paul is preaching before Agrippa, and Paul suddenly interrupts, and he said, "I appeal to Caesar." I was told in law school that was the dumbest act in the history of jurisprudence, because Agrippa goes, "Oh, no, I was about to let you go. I mean, I was about to let you, and now you've went and done it. You appeal. Well, guess what? You're going to Rome." And some people say that was the dumbest legal move ever in the history of the world. But read the book of Acts, and guess what happens? You'll see that because he appealed that, he got to preach the gospel to great and small, to kings and queens. And by the way, that's what we're here for. We're here to make a difference. We're here to be salt and light. We're here to make a difference in our world. And you know what? There's less of us. And so we've got to take a stand. We've got to be Daniel. So here's what Daniel did. Look at verse 10. It said, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had his windows and his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed, and he gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think if they passed a law here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that you could not pray, do you think that that would shut down Pastor Lamar? Oh, I know it wouldn't. Yeah, he's the bomb. You know, I believe the bomb himself would go out on the highway right there, and he would pray right there in the middle of the road. I mean, that's the kind of guy you take. But what about you? Would you be willing to pray, even if they said prayer was illegal? What would you have done? I mean, you could consult a lawyer, and your lawyer would go, you know, it's only for 30 days. You could go to Phoenix for 30 days and pray there and then come back, and that would be a legal loophole around the law. Or you could pray in secret where nobody would catch you, and then the burden of proof would be on them to prove that you pray. Or you could do like Daniel did, and you could just pray in front of everybody. You know, Daniel was told to stand down, and when he was told to stand down, guess what he did? He stood up. But know this, when you stand up, you will become a target. Now, let's be honest. That's why some of us don't stand up, because we're worried about what's going to happen to us. Well, I'm going to tell you, this is really, really interesting, because God has special protection for people who will stand up. Now, the story, I think, even gets more interesting, because a moment ago we talked about how the king who signed the law gets blindsided by it. He said, "Who signed this?" Look at verse 14. It says, then the king, when he heard these words, he was much distressed, and he set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Now listen, here's the guy who signed the law. He should have known about the law, but you know, in his defense, there's so many laws that are passed all the time. Is there anybody in here that thinks they could say, I know every single law that's ever been passed? Federal, state, or just Albuquerque? I mean, go ask your lawyer. He doesn't know. I mean, we've passed so many laws. So anyway, is there a lesson here? Yes, there is. Here's the lesson. Don't allow bad laws to pass in the first place. And that's where, as a Christian, sometimes we have to think about, we have to know what's going on. We have to be salt and light, and we need to let our voices be heard in the world. Because here's the scary thing that happens in the story, and it accelerates very, very quickly. They say, they pass a law that you can't pray. But here's the worst part. The penalty. What's the penalty? It's the death penalty. Now here's what gets even worse about it. It's the death penalty by cats. How many of you are cat people? I'll pray for you. I'm allergic to cats. You know, Pastor Greg Elder, that poor guy, he's allergic to beef. He can't eat a steak. He's allergic to chicken, and he's also, what else? And eggs. Yeah, oh, he can't eat anything. I feel sorry for him. So, we went to a Mexican food restaurant last night. He ordered bacon. That was genius. Yeah, so he can have that. I'm allergic to cats. You know, there's only two kinds of people in the world. There's cat people and there's dog people. Pastor, which are you? He don't want to say. He's staying neutral down here. I mean, cats! I mean, here's the thing. You probably had never thought about this. In this story, even if you're not a cat person, I'm not a cat person, I really feel sorry for the cats in this story, because they got to kill the people. Okay? Now, you may not know this, but did you know? Now, how many of you know it's against God's law for you to kill another person? Right? Even Aggies know that. But did you know? The Bible says, same scripture, Genesis 9:5, that it is against God's law for an animal to kill a person. And the animal will be under God's judgment. Now hang on here. Do you know what that means? Your cat knows there's a God. Yeah! So does Fluffy. Okay? Man, they're smarter than some atheists because, you know, God's going to hold them accountable. Like, they already know I can't do that because God said don't do it. So these poor cats have to sin against God and be the executioner. They just saying. Now, some of you say, you know what? I'm a cat person. If I was the one that went down the lines, then they wouldn't kill me because cats know cat people. They just know. You know, I don't know about that. Oh, you know, if you shrunk down to the size of a mouse in your house, would you be safe with your cat? Just asking a hypothetical question, asking for a friend. Now, you know, I had one guy tell me one time, he goes, well, the cat I'm smart enough. He said, if I went down there, he said, I would just give him a leg or a thigh and, you know, give him a snack and they'd be fine. Listen, if you're a cat person, you need to understand this about cats, like lions. Lions don't eat chicken the way you eat chicken, okay? Lions, they can't go to church's chicken or Popeye's chicken or any like thing like that because lions don't eat muscles. They eat vital organs. Now, do you know why they call vital organs vital organs? They're vital, okay? And so, man, I mean, these lions, you know, a lion, you know, it can eat 30% of its own body weight. That would be like Pastor here today eating 200 quarter pounders for lunch. I mean, it would be incredible. They can eat 30% of their body weight. I mean, these guys have the strength of 14 men. And so here's what's interesting. Daniel is thrown out down into the lion's den as nothing happens to him. Now I'm going to tell you why. This is really interesting. How does God save Daniel? He sends an angel. And the angel shuts the mouths of a lion. And let me tell you, this should strengthen your backbone today. This should strengthen your courage. Did you know that God has angels for people who do the right thing? And you know what? If you're ever scared to do the right thing, let me tell you something. You just need to know this. God is on the side of people who stand for him. God is on the side of people who stand for righteousness. And I don't know how bad it'll get in our country. Maybe we'll battle it back and we'll never see, you know, any widespread persecution in our lifetime. Maybe we won't. But God is looking for some people. God is looking for some Daniels today. God's looking for some King Dariuses. You know, think about this. King Darius. He's not a pastor. He's not a preacher. I mean, probably nobody expects him to stand. And he tries to do everything he can to reverse this bad law. You know, there's some of you today who think, you know, it really doesn't matter what I do in the world. Oh, it does. Did you know everybody in this room today has a kingdom? You say, well, I don't have a kingdom. I'm just a business person. Let me tell you something. That's a kingdom. And King Darius, he makes a decision. He said, you know what? As for me, I'm going to make the right decision. I'm going to try to do everything I can to help God here. And, you know, God's looking for some people today. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the earth, looking for a heart that is completely his. Now, here's the last thing that I'm about to tell you about this scripture. Daniel got delivered from the lions, but that wasn't the end. Verse 24 says that they took the very people who accused him and they threw him down in the lion's den. But that wasn't all who they got thrown in. Look at this. Verse 24, it says, and the king commanded, those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. Listen to this. They, their children, and their wives. Before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke their bones into pieces. How many of you think that's fair that the kids had to go in down there with them? Or wives? How many of you, your husbands ever made a bad decision? Don't raise your hand. I told you not to raise your hand. You don't want to be punished for what they did. And I mean, here's the moral of the story. Bad laws intended to hurt God's people ended up hurting innocent people. And you know, I mean, we have some crazy things going on in our society, in sports and other things like that. And we see controversies now going on in locker rooms and you know, and people are actually getting injured and getting hurt with some of this stuff. Here's the big lesson I want to tell you about before I close. And by the way, that's how I let people know I'm going to finish my sermon. I say, and I'm about to close. And pastor, it just relaxes people. You should try it sometime. It's amazing. You should have seen all the smiles and all the happiness and all the joy that came across this room. He's closing. You should do it. I mean, I do it 6 or 7 times because it just works so good that, you just see. So, but here's the big takeaway. Did you know the world is a scary place without God? You start changing the laws and you start taking God out, you'll get thrown into a lion's den and fed to cats. I mean, you know, I was an atheist for 21 years, and I used to tell Christians, I say, you know, that God is responsible for all the problems in the world and all the evil and suffering. But you know what? After I studied Christianity and I studied the history of Christianity, I would later go to Southwestern and study there, I discovered, you know what? If it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for Christianity, all the things that we take for granted in this world, like schools and hospitals and orphanages and benevolent organizations, nonprofits, churches, on and on and on, wouldn't even exist in our world without God. If you look at countries that don't have religious freedom, it's awful. It's awful. I'm so glad that we live in a place where we can worship our God today. I'm so glad that we live in a place where we can stand for our Lord today. And you know what? God is looking for some people who say, I'm going to stand for God. When it gets hot, I'm going to live and I'm going to stand for him. I believe God's looking for some people in Albuquerque, Texas, who'll be... There's no way to undo that one. And I close. God can deliver you. God can call you. Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer? You know, this story should sound kind of familiar. Because Daniel is thrown into a cave, he's left for dead, a stone was rolled across the entrance, soldiers guarded the tomb. This almost sounds like the story of Jesus. Because 600 years later, Jesus, like Daniel, is going to face death, but he's going to die. He's not with lions, but with a cross, and he's going to get nailed to the cross because of your sins. Yes, your sins. And then he's going to be placed in a cave. It's going to be guarded. But then he's going to rise again from the dead to demonstrate that everything that he said is true and that your sins can be forgiven. Have you ever had your sins forgiven? Have you ever placed your faith in Jesus Christ? You know, if you've never done that, it's the greatest decision you'll ever make. God can set you free. He can give you a purpose that you've never had before. He can give you a reason to get up in the morning. He can give you joy. Maybe somebody here today is just missing the joy of life. Maybe today you need to invite Christ in your heart. Maybe you've drifted away from God for a while and you need to come back to him today. You need to recommit your life to him. Let me tell you something. He'll welcome you back with open arms. Maybe God is leading you to step out today. Maybe he's saying, you know what? I want you to step out and I want you to become a part of a Bible-believing church. where the Spirit of the Lord is and where there's other people there who love the Lord. And I want you to get involved in reaching this community for Christ. Would you pray about that today? Or maybe God is leading you to take a step of believer's baptism. Maybe you've never made that step. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for everyone here today. Lord, we thank you for your love and your protection. We thank you for your freedoms. Lord, help us to use that freedom to live free, to impact others, to make a difference in our world. May we all be that Daniel that you're looking for. And that's my prayer for everybody here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.